Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time for the Saturday Spotlight with your host, Jeffrey Rochelle.
Good evening, and again, I say good Saturday evening. It is May 1st, 5-1-2021. Where is the time going? It's May 1st. May 1st. Man. And again, I say, where's the time going? Wow. May 1st. But yes, it's May 1st. And welcome to another episode of the Saturday Spotlight with your boy, the one, the only, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L, Jeffrey Rochelle. And again, I say, welcome to another episode of the Saturday Spotlight. Tonight is a very, very special and powerful show. I get to talk to two of my favorite author sisters. And these ladies are definitely going to bring their heat and the way they feel about the subject of discussing dealing with somebody that you are talking to or dealing with somebody that you involved with when the game plan starts, the head games, the man games. How do you deal with that? How do you overcome that if you're coming out of that? I picked two of my favorite author sisters, Honey Thomas and Black Onyx. I definitely love the way Black Onyx talks about situations and subjects, so that's why I brought her on tonight to give her input and how she feel about these motherfuckers that like to play fucking games with your head, like to get into your head and tell you, oh, you blah, 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 this and that, play little man games, and then turn around and tell you, you know what, I thought about it, and you ain't the one. How do you deal with that? So we're going to talk about that tonight. How you deal with getting to know a motherfucker? Get to know they ass, get to talking to them, and all of a sudden, out the clear blue sky, because you definitely want to know where you're going with this, because y'all spend a substantial amount of time, whether it's talking on the phone, dating, seeing each other, whatever the case may be, you spend a substantial amount of time of getting to know this person, feelings developing, but you're not sure how they feel, and then they drop the ball on you when it's all said and done and tell you, you know what, I really ain't feeling you like you feeling me. What do you do? What do you do when that happens to you? So we're going to talk to my girl, Honey Thomas, and Black Onyx about what they would do or how they feel with that situation. But before I go into that, my announcements. So, of course, you guys know on May 15th, I will be on the Charnell Williams Show at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the Charnell Williams Show because she is East Coast. It'll be 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. No, it'll be 5 p.m., 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. No, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I got to get together, quit sipping this wine, because I've had a little bit too much wine. And Black Onyx asked me, was she going to be able to curse on the show? Sister, you can do what you want tonight, because I want to hear what you and Honey Thomas got to say about these motherfuckers in these games. But I need to put this wine down. I've been sipping too much of this wine, so let me put this little glass down. I've been doing a little bit too much sipping. Mama Audrey, you didn't hear that, okay? You didn't hear that. You or Crystal didn't hear that, and anybody else that's listening. But we're going to – yeah, so I think it's 5 o'clock Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's one of those. If you follow me on Facebook, I posted the little flyer or whatever again. But I'm going to be on her show on May 15th. And then, of course, you guys know about the Great Midwest Book Fest on June 12th. And that kind of is going to coincide with the Detroit Book Fest. I want to get to that one year, that Detroit Hood Book Fest. I want to go to that one year. But it's coinciding with that. But I am one of the spearheading authors for the Great Midwest Book Fest this year. So if you have not, please register online at greatmidwestbookfest.com. The event is free, but it's going to be a Zoom event due to COVID. But there are going to be me, Donna Hill, LaGeo Hunt, Najlee Kay, and a host of other authors are going to be on that platform. But we are the ones that spearheading that. So if you have not purchased any of my books, or if you have any questions about my books, anything of that nature, as well as my other author brothers and sisters as well, too, you can log on to that, thegreatmidwestbookfest.com. It's June 12th from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Yeah, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. June 12th. And it's free. So if you want to get to that event, go to www.greatmidwestbookfest.com and log into that, and you can get yourself into that free and purchase some books from us authors. You know, like I said, I got Honey Thomas on here tonight. She's got a good book, Checkmate Bitch. Black Onyx. Onyx got some good books on here, too. You know, get at her, too. You know, Onyx, she got some good books, too. And Honey Thomas. So, you know, y'all support us because we write these good stories for y'all to read, and we want to get them out there to y'all so y'all can read them, too. So just, you know, just continue support for my sisters and all my other author brothers and sisters as well, too. And then, I want to say thank you all to everybody that's purchased All Marvin's Children. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I got the second shipment out today. So if you did not get a book 2 weeks ago, you are a part of the second shipment. Be looking in your mailbox the next 2 weeks because you will be getting your book. So everybody that has ordered a book from me, if you did not get it before, it's in this shipment and it's going out. So be checking your mailbox the next 2 weeks because you should be receiving your book. So again, thank you all. I got everybody's book out. I had 175 books to sign yesterday, and it took me 3 to 4 hours to do all of that, plus pack them, plus get them in the mailbox. And I was sitting there saying, where is my significant other? Well, you know what? I had a significant other, and it's been 7 years since my ass has been in a relationship. But you know what? I am ready. I am ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready again. I'm ready. I'm ready again to get on somebody's fucking nerves. Yes. I'm ready to get on somebody's goddamn nerve again. But as I was sitting there packing those books and getting them together, I'm like, I ain't got nobody to help me do this shit. What the fuck? So I got them done, needless to say. And I got them to the mailbox, and it was about a good 6-7 people behind me, and they was mad. But they had to wait because I had to get y'all books out. So everybody that ordered the book, thank you again. Thanks for the support. I love you guys. Truly, truly, truly continue to keep, you know, uplifting me to write books and you know, just supporting me. I appreciate the love. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I will have one more Saturday night spotlight show, and that will air May 29th. And I forgot the guy's name that's going to be on it. I'll have more information on that. But that will be the last show, you guys, until September. You know, I take a break. I need to go back and finish Friday After Dark 2, because y'all been asking me about Friday After Dark 2, and I need to also go and start writing the book after that. But I need to go finish both of those books before my 40th birthday. I'll be 40 in November. Ha-ha. Praise God. 40. I'll be 40 in November. Damn, I remember when I was 21. I remember when I was 17. 40. That shit came quick. But, yeah, I'll be 40 in November, and I plan on doing it big like everybody does when they turn their milestone age. So, but, needless to say, I'll be back in September. I have, like I said, the book fest is going on. I got some trips going on. I'm going to Dallas. I'm going to Atlanta. So, you know, I take my little break, and then I come back on, you know, back in September and bring you guys back better shows, whatever ideas I have. You know, I may bring a co-host on. I don't know. But needless to say, I'm taking my little break, so Mama Audrey, don't miss me too much. I throw an old show in there every now and then on a Saturday or whatever, but I have to take a break because I got some things to finish. All right. So I told my girls that I was going to jump right into this. I'm going to bring them both on, and they're going to tag team these topics. And like I said, the topic for tonight is you're talking to somebody and getting to know them, and you want to know where the hell are things going after a while. You know, you're talking to them on the phone, you're dating them, you're going out with them. And even if you're not talking to them on the phone, you're dating them and going out. Let me throw this situation in there, too, for Onyx and Honey. You meet somebody from out of state. You build a video chat relationship with them. So you videoing them and talking to them and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, feelings develop in the course of that because you keep in a constant every week, day by day basis of this going on. All of a sudden, feelings develop. You hold these feelings back, and the weeks and days go on till you finally say, okay, enough is enough. I need to let this person know. What did you do in that situation, too, when they come and tell you, well, you know what? My feelings ain't there. But you're getting all these different signs and things from them. They videoing you at night. You're videoing at night. They, you know, the communication is going on. You're wondering why you're not the one. So in that situation, what did you do, or how do you overcome it? And then after they tell you that, then they want to consistently still call you on an avid basis. How do you get through with these fucking man gangs? So I'm going to bring on Honey Thomas from Chicago, both of my author sisters. I'm going to bring them in. So Honey Thomas and Onyx, you guys say hello to the Saturday Spotlight audience, okay?
Hey.
Hey there.
Hey,
y'all.
What's good? I'm glad y'all on tonight so we can talk about shit.
You was on the road, boo.
Was I?
Yes, you was.
That wind kicked in, y'all, and I told y'all I need to put it down. I done went and got it. Yes. Man, honestly, you asked really good. I said, go ahead, do what you want, because this is my show, and then how you feel how you want to do it, that's how you want to do it. Yeah. Okay,
well,
so who want to go first?
I'll jump right in and say that, you know, just to piggyback off of what you were saying initially about, like, head games. The funny thing is about head games is it all goes back to perception. It's your perception of that situation. And that sounds very vague and, like, BS-y, but it really is, because it's like when you go into something and you dating, right? And you tell the person, hey, check it out, I'm dating with intention. You know, I'm chilling with you, we kicking it, we hanging out, we, you know, we doing whatever. But my end-all, be-all is to eventually be in a relationship. Not tomorrow, but, you know, 6, 7, 8 months from now, whatever. The person say, okay, right, y'all still boo-caking. They not feeling it like you feeling it, but everybody progresses differently. So it has a lot to do with your perception and how willing are you, like you said, like you will hold it in for a while. How willing are you to just speak on it? Like, I feel like if people speak on it right when they feel it, they'll avoid a lot of heartbreak and a lot of bullshit, because the longer you sit on it, the deeper you feel it. Because now you're thinking about it. Now you're obsessing about it. Now it's constant. Do I tell her? Do I tell them? When do I say? When is the time right? I wonder if they feel the same way. And you literally working yourself into a tizzy. And now you held it in for 6 to 8 weeks when you could have said something when you fell in week two, and they could have just been like, oh, no, I ain't on that. And you could have saved yourself a whole bunch of weeks. But it's the own self-perception of what's really going on, I think, is the basis of a lot of the hurt.
Gotcha.
I agree with that. I truly agree with the perception. And I'm a person that I'm always up front, so you have to set your intention. Now, I haven't dated in years because I've been in a relationship for double-digit years. So when we started dating, it was much different than what I see that's going on now. The foolery that's going on now, I could never. I just really could never.
Donnie, honey, I'm telling you, baby. It's
just like set your intentions. You know, it's like this is what I'm looking for. And if this is not what you're looking for, then move around. So, Jeff, when you said that, oh, what if they your feelings are there, but then they say that theirs are not, but then they keep on calling you. Well, come on now. You know what they're calling you for. They ain't calling to tell you that it's sunny and bright outside. They're not calling to see how you doing. They're calling for some ass. Let's just get it out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's just straight up. Because if I'm feeling you and you're not feeling me, then what the hell you keep calling me for?
Thank you.
Exactly. But it also could, but it could go the other way to say that, you know, they're calling you for the convenience of the situation that you allow to grow. Because now, see, they even got used to that setup. You know, they got used to the boot cake and the sitting on the phone, the Zooming, the Skyping, the coming over, smashing, Netflixing, whatever. So in their mind, their level of expectation has not grown beyond the immediate moment. But the other individual involved, they have developed something. And even when they speak on it, they're still going to be hurt because we all have that inner child, that inner selfishness that I want as good as I get. So if I'm spending my time, my energy, my affection, you should be willing to reciprocate that. But not everybody is. And like you said, it's the intention. You know, like for me, I just finalized my divorce maybe 4 or 5 months ago. Might have been a little bit longer. But I have not dated in 2 years since I left my wife. And she's on her third relationship since we've been, we got separated. And people are like, well, how come you aren't dating? I said, because I am a relationship person. I believe in soul ties and energy exchanges. So I don't do casual sex. I've never had a one-night stand because I always end up with stalkers. So it's like I'll just keep these tasty cakes to myself and just chill until I find somebody that's aligned with what it is that I'm looking for. Because if I'm looking for a relationship, why set up a booty call situation?
There you go.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
So
it's quality over quantity.
Yes. But that's just the thing. And then it goes back to, you know, Jeffrey, you and I had talked before, like, how do you handle that? Me personally, I'm all about straightforward, effective communication. Hey, look, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm feeling. What's up? And then I will let a person expound upon whatever it is that they're feeling. And if we're not aligned, then in that moment, not tomorrow, not next week, not 30 minutes after y'all do it again. No, right then is when you as the individual have to make a decision then. Okay, we got to the fork in the road. I went right towards love. They went left towards casual. I cannot go straight. What is it that I am comfortable doing? Most people don't take into consideration their own comfortability factor, and they'll try to do what's going to make the other person comfortable because we have this innate belief that we can change somebody. We can love them hard enough. We can put it on them good enough. We can break their back good, and they just going to fall. And some people just ain't going. They just ain't going.
Nope. Because let me tell y'all something. I had a motherfucker told me. Motherfucker told me at one point down the line before this that I was in this situation before. And a motherfucker told me, well, I don't understand how is it that I meet people. And all of a sudden, I had to think about that for a second, y'all. This person I've been talking to for yet. Oh, yes, honey. I've been talking to him for about a good, I want to say, almost 3-4 weeks to 2 months, and you come almost 3 months at the latest, and you come telling me, after I'm telling you how I feel, I don't understand how I meet people and they fall for you. So what the hell are we doing?
well, some people are just, you know, I always look at relationships like you have planners and you have people who are just full of spontaneity. Some people literally go into interpersonal dealings on the fly. they go into it with no game plan, no intention, no nothing. It's like, hey, I'm going to go with the feeling, carpe diem, and whatever happens, happens. And then you have the planners who say, well, no, now, you know, this is going to amount to this, and this is going to equate to this, and this is where we're going to end up. Those two people are like oil and water, but they always end up in the boat together.
Yeah, and I couldn't understand that sometimes because I'm like, okay, I'm talking to this person on a daily basis. This person is really cool. But their attitude was really fucked up too, because as I got to know them, they had this whole, it's about me. So anytime we talk about anything or it piggyback to them, it's about me, it's about me. And I'm like, is this person arrogant as hell or what? Because every time we talk about something, it's about them. And then when I would talk about something else, it would be, well, this and that, blah, 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 woo, woo. Or, you know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not understanding how I meet somebody and then all of a sudden, after a while, they got feelings for me. What does that, what the fuck did that come from? And then they kept calling me after it was all said and done. Because I had them set me straight. I said, so let me know right here and there. Do you or do you not see me as somebody that you could potentially date? And they told me right now, no. This is going on in my life. That's going on in my life. Blase, blase. I accepted that. I was cool with that. But then you turn around and call me the next damn day after you tell me that. And then before the conversation ended that night before, you asked me, so am I going to still call you again? No. Why would I still be calling you? I just told you I got feelings for you. What kind of shit is that?
But you answered your own question. You said, you said that, okay, that this person, first off, the person sounds absolutely freaking oblivious. You answered your own question when you said everything is about him and he's extremely self-centered. That explains it right there. How he can talk to people and people can fall for him and he doesn't feel anything about it because he's already in love with somebody, himself.
There you go.
There's no room for anybody else in that relationship. It's just him and him.
And he didn't deserve to even be entertained. Once he stated, you know, I don't know why people just start liking me or whatever, right there was your cue to exit. Because he's not just, you know, that person not even assured themselves.
I got one better
for
you,
they don't
bro.
Even deserve you.
Really, they don't. They do not. But I got one better for you, bro. I decided, okay, I'm going to talk to somebody, right? I'm going to step out my shell, and I'm going to talk to somebody. Ooh, after, you know, being with my wife for 10 years. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I started talking to this kid. We exchanged numbers or whatever. We talked on the phone, and, bro, you know how I talk.
Mm-hmm.
We talked on the phone for 6 days. In that 6 days, we amassed 47 hours of phone time. Yeah, I kept track. 47 hours. That means I can put in a whole week of work with your ass. We going to sleep on the phone. We waking up on the phone. We FaceTiming while we brushing our teeth, right? But we're both doing the exact same thing. We're not looking for a relationship. Me, I'm never looking for a relationship. I'm looking for a substantial connection. That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
But I got where she was coming from. No problem. She ain't talking to nobody. Nobody on the horizon. I told her, I have a rule. If we're talking and we're vibing, I have a 7-day rule. We have to meet in person if we don't know each other in real life yet. We have to meet in person by 7 days. Because I'm not going to waste all this time getting to know you and digging on you and vibing with you. And then I meet you in person and your real life personality is garbage because you gave me your representative over the phone. So 7th day, we at Morton's Steakhouse, eating good. We chilling. The vibe is there. She cute. I'm cute. You know, we good. How about less than 24 hours later, bro, my best friend hit me up and was like, hey, bitch, go look at old girl page. Either she's easily sprung or she on some bullshit. I go look at her page. This motherfucker wrote a whole diatribe, okay? Professing her love for some unnamed person. That she going to be her husband one day and this, this, then the third, and she love her so much and woo, 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 woo. I'm reading it, and you know the West Side in me. So why the hell you just waste my time for a whole week if you in love with somebody? Was the chick gone on a business trip or something and you ain't had nothing better to do?
Okay.
But once again, that straightforward communication. I sent her a message. Hey, I texted her, sent the voice clip. Good morning. Hey, Kevin. I was looking at your Facebook page like I do every day because you look at mine. Right. Okay. I saw your thing this morning. Was that directed at me or was that directed to somebody else? And I kind of chuckled at the end. This nigga sends me a voice clip back laughing like, how could that be about you? We just met. I said, okay. I said, well, then let me ask you a simple question. If you're in love with somebody and you're trying to wife her, them 47 hours we just spent on the phone, you could have spent on the phone with her, building something,
exactly.
expounding upon
exactly.
the greatness of her. I was like, because, boo, I could have been doing other shit, like playing with my toes. Like, for real. And she got mad and had the audacity, the cojones, the balls, to call me the very next day on FaceTime. Hey, what's up? What you doing? Bitch, not answering the phone.
Okay.
I ain't even answer. Right? For like 2 days, I didn't answer. And it was like, you know what? Let me go and take this little young call. I'm like, what's happening? Also, you just ignoring me, woo-woo? Nah, baby, I've been busy. It's this thing called life. You know, I'm like, I write books, I paint, I make stuff, I have to be cute. So, you know, that's a full-time job in itself. So I just been busy. What's up? What's popping? What's going on? Did you propose yet? And she was like, oh, that's what you on. Oh, you finna be on this? And she said, oh, but you don't want to be my friend? See, this is what I'm talking about. Women out here always talking about they don't want no relationship, but then you mess around and catch feelings or something. I said, wait a minute. Hold on, fool. Hold on, when I hit you with the pudding, I'm finna read you. Hold on, pudding. Then I had to reel it back and say, no, turn to get that energy. I said, darling, I didn't catch feelings. I simply said, what were we doing for 47 hours? That was it. If you're in love with somebody, I said, baby, I'm a life coach. I'm trying to align you with your manifestation of your best life. And she, don't talk about psycho babble crap to me. I was like, I'm just saying, gee, if you're in love with somebody, you should spend that time with them.
With them.
Not random people that just happen to be your Facebook friend. But that's what they do. So in answer to your question, how do you shut them down? You hit them dead in the forehead with it. I see it. I recognize it. I acknowledge it. And I'm walking away from it.
Okay.
Yep. And that's period, point blank. That's all you have to do. And like I say, I'm straightforward. I can't play games with people. That's in any relationship, be it intimate, personal, business. I'm going to be straight up with you. No, I can't do it. No, I'm not about to do this. You know, you're not about to waste my time. And you know right off the bat when somebody wasting your time.
Wasting your time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because just all that, you know, talking and, we calling, but it's, you know it's not going anywhere. You know, your heart of hearts is not going anywhere. I'm not going to pump life into something that's not pumping life back into me. I just can't give nobody all that effort anymore. Not today. I may not have been that person in my teens, in my 20s, but I'm that person. Like, today, it's like no nonsense. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not going to entertain it. And I'm going to use a whole lot of choice words towards that person, but even wasting somebody's time. And I think that's more in a line with what dating is today. People are just trying something out and then moving on to the next person. Nobody is real serious these days.
Well, I think it comes from us living. We've evolved, and I say this all the time in my lives, we've evolved to a microwave society. Everybody wants instant gratification. So let me go over here and date Jeff. Okay, he's nice. All right, he got money. I can spend some time with him. Okay, cool. But you know what? I don't necessarily know if I'm feeling him sexually. So let me go holler at Miss Honey. She got some curves. Let me see what she's talking about. Okay, well, I like her physically, but she ain't got the money I'm looking for, but she got that education. You know, it's like people do that, and it's almost like they're bargain shopping, trying to build a boo.
Yeah.
Instead of just knowing what they want and being able to express that and go get it. Because what people don't understand is you attract romantically as well as everything else in your life, you attract the type of energy you are putting into the universe. So if you have not done what Miss Honey said in the very beginning and set your intentions, even with self, you will continuously experience the exact same BS scenarios because you have not aligned yourself what it is that you really want. You said what you wanted. You know, that's like me saying, I want to lose 20 pounds and then sitting there eating a triple whopper. I'm not aligning myself with that goal. You know, I had a client once, and she, for the life of her, she was transitioning. Okay, so this is a funny story. She was transitioning from being gay, from being lesbian, back into being straight, and totally understood that, respected that. Hey, I'm Gucci with it. You know, it is what it is. And she was meeting guys, but she could not understand why they couldn't get out of the physical stage, like why she wasn't still in the deal with a relationship. Told her, I said, sweetie, go back to the latest dudes you talked to. I said, okay, so you're using, like, Facebook dating. Okay, go back to the last dude you talked to. How many conversations did it take before you started talking about sex? She was like, well, shit, you know, like the third or fourth conversation, he asked me something, I answered, and then it went from there, and da-da-da. I said, okay, stop. When you went on your first date and y'all hung out and everything, he offered to take you home. You offered him some ass. So y'all did it, right? She said, yeah. I said, okay, here's the thing in them kind of situations. You led with your sexual energy. So you're attracting. This is why you're getting the unsolicited dick pics and everything else. Like how they tell women, lead with your goddess energy. That goes for men, women, everybody. It's the energy that you're exuding. And I told her, when we're on the hunt for a relationship, it's almost like when animals go in heat and they throw off the pheromones to attract the opposite sex. We do the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're not throwing off necessarily a pheromone, but we throw off a vibe like a mug. And that vibe could be saying, I'm thirsty. I want to be touched. I want to be loved. Validate me. Affirm me. We all throw out different vibes at different times based on what we're dealing with. So it then turns into, what is the energy you're projecting? And once she started working on that and stopped, like, getting off into the sexual conversations, and this is an older lady in her 50s. So it ain't just the young folks that's having these same difficulties. It's happening on a different level. Like with the older people, it's more with the energy, the alignment of what you really want, instead of just going with the status quo so you could be wanted. Because then you're being wanted for the wrong reason. Well, at least not the wrong reason, but not for the reason you desire to be wanted for.
Absolutely, yeah. I do. I totally agree with that, and especially that it's not just the young people. And with the more seasoned people, if you were in a relationship and then you got out of one, so say like I've been in a relationship for years, and I get out of this relationship today. Now I want to start dating. I don't know the first thing about dating.
Right.
Right.
The dating we did then is not the dating that we're doing now. And it's like, so I'm not that old. I'm just 48 years old. But, like, internet dating or, like you just talked about, Facebook dating. I'm against that, but I'm against it for me, not somebody else. I'm still on, I got to meet you face to face. I got to see you are what you're portraying to be. You look how you portraying, you know, on your pictures and everything. I have to see that stuff firsthand. I'm not video chatting with you. I don't even allow anybody to FaceTime me. If you don't live in my household, don't FaceTime me because I'm not going to
have
it. I'm not going to ask it. I don't play that. Even with Zoom, with Zoom, you getting a picture or you getting my name. You know, you don't have a mark to my personal space.
Okay.
Just too much into my personal space, you know, so it's just, it's like, okay, where do we stand, you know? Where do we stand? How do you even go about it? And then it's like, okay, let's meet here. And then it's an awkward situation. You know, I know what I'm looking for, but I don't know if that's what he's looking for. So, you know, let me see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, it's just you have to kind of almost be afraid to go out and meet someone.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what they're going to bring to the table, and you don't know what situation you're walking into. And then it's a trust thing. You trust in yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then you trust in that person.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you get around those types of things?
That is so true. And it's like, we as humans, though, have to start looking at the fact that we all operate, as much as we like to think that we have these universally applicable beliefs, we have to look at the fact that we all operate on an individual accord. We all have our own agenda. Like, we're walking in school, we all have our own damn syllabus, you know. And it's like, okay, everybody to the auditorium, but everybody taking a different subject. So who going to help who with their homework? And that's what we have to be willing to do, and that's what people are not willing to do. They want to just walk in the classroom and say, hello, my name is, hand me my degree, please.
Mm-hmm.
And you sitting there looking like, eh. And even when they get in the relationship, because they're not clear of what their role is. And most times, if one party is not clear of what their role is, the other one has not been clear about what their role is either. And that's how you end up with the dissension, you know, like us. We're entrepreneurs. So I have a firm belief that your mate is supposed to be your biggest damn cheerleader.
Yeah,
your
there
mate
you go.
Is supposed to be, in my mind, when I was dropping books, my wife was supposed to be riding around with my business cards on the dashboard and the books in the trunk. That's what I thought. But in her mind, one, how the hell did I manage to marry somebody who wasn't a reader? She did not read at all, just not at all.
Wow.
She wasn't even going to read the damn TV guide, okay? No. But then on top of that, as we talked and I talked about business and I talked about, like, book expos and what I expected her to do, she knew that I'm a transparent person. I need communication, because if you don't communicate to me what you're thinking, I'm going to assume what I want to assume, and then I'm going to end up putting something on you that you don't necessarily want to deal with. And as your mate, I definitely don't want to do that. So she knew you noticed the hell up, and she said, hey, babe, I'm not big on talking to people that I don't know. I'm not big on just approaching people. I'm not good with sales, trying to pitch something to somebody. And I'm just, you know what, baby, I tell my friends that you write books and I tell them how to go on Amazon, but that's just not something I can do. I couldn't do shit but respect that. I said, well, just riddle me this. Just do this for me, baby. When I post something on Facebook, nigga, just click share. Just click share. If I post something about my book, the life coaching, the art, whatever, just click share. You ain't got to say nothing. You ain't got to type no magnificent caption. Just hit share, and I'll come comment and say whatever I need to say. Just do that much so my friends ain't looking at me like, hey, G, how come your wife don't ever share your stuff? I said, because now you got me looking dumb. But it was all about communicating. I pretty much knew then, you know, like, damn, we're doomed. I'm like, okay, I got a whole cell phone here in the house with me, but I got to hire beta readers. Why?
Right.
You know, but people have to be
clear. Mm-hmm. But I think it's funny that you say that, because for me, I don't expect none of that from my husband. Just back me up financially.
there you go. She said, run them coins, baby. Run them coins.
Right, run them coins.
Run them coins, Daddy, and I'm going to bring them back in on the other end.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to give you that return on investment.
don't better read nothing for me. But I do get what you're saying, though. And that's one
and
thing
see, for me,
that
I
learned in marketing.
No, go ahead, baby.
I was gonna say that's one thing that I learned with marketing, that our family and friends are not our customers. They just our customers. That's the wrong people for us to be marketing at, or you know, you should do this. They shouldn't do that, or my sister didn't post or didn't do this, because they let you down every damn time. my biggest customers is people on Facebook who I ain't never met a day in my life.
Now, that's mm-hmm. very true. But see, for me, when it comes down to the overall cheerleading, nah, bro, mm-hmm. you don't get no pass on that. Because every day I walk out this house and I say I'm married, every day I turn mm-hmm. down somebody's advance, that's me cheerleading for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make it happen. You want some extra money up in here? You want to take that extra trip? Yeah, I ain't telling you to buy the book, but you better go tell somebody to buy.
Right.
Because if I got to sit here with all these copies, guess what? That went on your credit card. Stop playing with me. I bet you'll get out there and tell them that. That damn $500 order sitting in your trunk, I bet you'll tell them that.
So do y'all feel like, okay, let me ask y'all this. With these people that have these issues with dating, and I know, I'm sure y'all have kind of heard this too, with that saying that says, hurt people hurt people. Do y'all feel as if these people that bring, that try to date people, but it turns out crazy, like with your situation, Onyx, and then with my situation, do you feel like these are people that's dealing with issues that they bringing into the situation with you, or that they issues that they dealing with, and you go sit on somebody's couch and talk? Do y'all feel, because I kind of felt like that with that guy. Like, I really felt like it was some, and I would, like I said, I would listen. And I learned that from my friend Jackie Taylor. She told me to listen to a person as you get to know them. So as I was getting to know that person, I was listening to them. And I felt like they were still dealing with some issues or some stuff that they need to sit on somebody's couch and talk about. So do y'all feel like that's the issue with so many people that come with this toxicness too? They need to go sit on somebody's couch and talk to their ass?
Yes. Because the same, everybody got some type of issue that you're going to bring to the table. And so just like you said that your friend told you that as you're getting to know someone, you have to listen to them. That's the same way that the person was doing you. So he probably was doing you the same way. Now, mm-hmm. perhaps what he saw in you was, who does this nigga think he is? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, he mm-hmm. got it all together. He this or he that. But here I am damaged with issues, and I don't want to talk about that or bring that forth, and you just seem like you got it all together. So now mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know why people like me, you know, because I know I'm fucked up. So I don't understand why anybody likes me. So he probably was mm-hmm. putting it on the table, and then just maybe you wasn't, you know, you didn't get it at that moment.
I think I agree with Ms. Honey that everybody got some baggage. We all got some trauma from somewhere. And mm-hmm. it's okay. I have to validate mm-hmm. the trauma and the hurt that people are dealing with. It's okay. And it's okay to be not okay. What's not a good thing is when you don't give anybody an advance warning. You
right.
don't tell nobody, this is who I am, this is what I'm all about. When you give them that shiny, happy representative, instead of saying, hey, look, I'm digging you, we hanging out, this is lovely, but please note, I may be a little skittish at times because everybody I've ever dated has cheated on me. Now, I'm not saying that I wasn't culpable in their cheating because, you know, everything works both ways, but I'm a little damaged. So if you stay on your phone a lot, I may get disinterested. You know, tell a person. I poll coaching clients. Did you tell this person that you were clingy? Did you tell this person that you were needy? Well, no, because I don't think I am. Okay, so you don't think that it's clingy or needy that you will text the person and literally watch the clock to see if they respond and then go compare the last time that they posted on social media to how long has it elapsed since you text them? I said, you don't think that's clingy? And that you're okay with bringing mm-hmm. that up to them. I text you at 8 o'clock. You ain't hit me back till the next day. But you was posting all on Facebook. I mean, what's up? Motherfucker, I ain't want to talk to you. Simple. But people can't say that. And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people may have, their baggage may be that they're severely allergic to clinginess. And as soon as a person starts showing that they're clingy, they start falling back. That
mm-hmm.
could be their baggage. But if you don't talk about that, then how does that, if I didn't tell Jeff that, if I didn't tell Jeff, hey, look, the last person I was with completely smothered me. They were very oppressive, very dark. So I kind of need my freedom. I need to breathe. The constant check-ins I cannot do. Like I literally had to call this person every hour on the hour, Jeff, and I don't want to do that anymore. If I don't tell
mm-hmm.
Jeff that, and Jeff texts me, and he's a quick texter, so he's expecting immediate responses, and he starts to text me back-to-back like, Black, what's up? What's up? What's going on? Damn, you so busy you can't call me? And I panic, and I just ghost his ass. Because you know we nowadays, we love to just go into our contacts and hit block contact. You ain't got to
mm-hmm.
use no number, so you ain't got to wonder who calling. It just blocks them and reroutes them directly to the voicemail. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Bye. And
mm-hmm.
we're good like that. And that's how we operate now instead of communicating. It all goes back to the communication component. Just say it. You know, so yes, we all got baggage. Yes, we all got trauma. It's valid. It's understood. But it is still not respectable to just dump that shit at somebody's feet and expect them to deal with it. That's like me walking up on a first date and just dumping out a 30-gallon hefty bag of old seafood right at your feet on your brand-new heels, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hi, this is me, rotten seafood. Yay. Oops, sorry about your shoes. No.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing that. Well, I do it. I tell people in a heartbeat. I'll break it down. I will give you the cliff notes, the syllabus, the paint-by-numbers. The book of Black. Here you go. Chapter 1. Run. That's it right there.
But you know, Onyx, because I'm not assured of myself and because I really don't want nobody to know I'm a crackhead, I'm just going to deal this hand out and hope and let the chips fall where they may and hope this person really don't see me for who I am because I haven't, you know, dive into my madness. I haven't shown that hand to people yet. But I want to
mm-hmm.
get out here. I want to meet somebody. You know what I'm saying? I want to fall in love. I want to have sex. I want to date. But I just don't want them to see behind this mask yet. And I'm going to try to control it while I'm with them so they won't see. But if they trigger me, then that's when all my crazy going to come out.
Right.
So now you left with that. You left with that. And so many people are wearing masks these days.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's because we as a society, and that's why I said it's okay not to be okay, because we as a society have yet to understand everybody that we encounter has the potential to break us. Every single person, every teacher, every boss, every parent, every sibling,
mm-hmm.
your cousins, your lovers, whoever, your children, everybody you encounter, and that's scary. Think about how many people you've encountered up until this point in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of them had the ability to break you down to your very essence. But none of them, not one person on the face of this earth, and there's what, over billions of people on the face of the earth?
Mm-hmm.
Not nan of them people, not nan of them people possess this one skill that you have inherently in you. Everybody could break you.
Mm-hmm.
Can't nobody fix you but you.
Yep.
So wearing the mask is essentially just a Band-Aid on a festering sore.
Mm-hmm.
Can't nobody rip that Band-Aid off and pour a little alcohol on it, little peroxide, little Betadine, tape it up real good, little gauze. Can't nobody nurse that wound but you. So no matter how many masks you buy, you eventually going to have to take it off and wash it. It's going to fade, it's going to shrink, and then you're going to have to get a new one. Why keep doing all that when you can just fix it?
Mm-hmm.
Fix the disfigurement instead of hiding it. You know, but that just all falls on us as individuals. I think I posted a status like that the other day, it said something about all of us have, like, jealous, clingy traits or something. Or something about we all look down on other people or something. And I said, how many of us are self-aware enough to acknowledge that? Because it was some powerful shit. It was basically a high level of introspection. And that's what we don't do. Like, have y'all ever sat and talked to somebody? And Miss Honey, it's probably been a while for you because you've been booed up for a long time. But have you ever talked to somebody, and you know when you first meet and people always want to tell you about their last relationship or their past relationships as y'all get to know each other?
Yeah.
And when they telling you about it, do you notice how very few people say, like if you were talking about cheating, so Jeff, I'm telling you that every person I ever dated cheated on me. Most people are going to stick with that narrative. Everybody cheated on me, and I have no idea why. And, you know, and it's just crazy that I've been this hurt. And, oh, my God, I'm just a victim, and I'm a martyr. And, oh, my God, instead of saying, damn, you know, I did come to the stark realization that I may be too permissive in my relationships. Well, why do you say that, Black? Well, because everybody I've ever dated has cheated on me, like more than once. So basically the relationship did not end due to their infidelity, which means I permitted it. If I did not put my foot down at the very first incident, then I pretty much opened the door and told them it was okay to do. So the relationship didn't end because they cheated on me. The relationship ended because I didn't have a backbone. I was too permissible, and I allowed them to continuously cheat on me until it broke me and somebody had to end the relationship because it was no longer working. But it didn't end because of the cheating, the part the person leaves out. Nope, it ended because they cheated and you allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
Had you broke up with them when they first cheated, then the relationship would have effectively ended due to infidelity. And that shit right there will go over a lot of people's heads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because to piggyback on him, honey, Black, that was it was a situation like that when I was talking to him. Black, he told me, he was like, I'm not over my ex. And so, like I told y'all, I listened to everything he was saying. And to make a long story short, I asked him, I said, well, why are you not over your ex? Because he was saying, well, I'm not over my ex, and my ex won't take me back. So, like you just said, Black, they leave out little shit. But I kind of was listening to him, and I piggybacked again another time, and I asked him the same question again. Because he thought I let it go, and I didn't. So I said, when you mentioned your ex and you're not over them and all this other bullshit, what was it that you did to your ex that your ex don't want you back? Well, they was the perfect guy, and God, I felt like God sent me the perfect guy, and I fucked up, and I my mouth and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And it really dawned on me to just listen to that and just hear, just like people leave out what they want to leave out but don't tell you. Like you said, it goes over your head, you know, and you got to really pay attention and listen. You got to really pay attention and listen. But needless to say with that, too, they told on themselves again. So it was a birthday weekend, and amidst all this drama, they went to North Carolina to see them. And the last time we talked, we got into a little argument, Black. They went on to say they exes in North Carolina, something to that effect. And I piggybacked and I thought about when we were talking, how they said that, well, I'm going to take this trip with my family to North Carolina, and I'm going to be gone for the weekend. And in the process of that, while I'm making my story yet, is that I had videoed them and also called them and got no response. But I sure got a text back that weekend really quick saying that they was with their family and they couldn't talk. Now, you post as much as I post on Facebook. Everything you do, you post on Facebook. Everything you travel, it's a trip, whatever the case may be. So that particular weekend, y'all, nothing was posted on their page. Yep, at all.
Because they was
at
with
all, Black, at all, at all.
Because so, he was with his man, radio silence.
Exactly. So when I got that text back, honey and Black, I said, this text came back really quickly, and it seemed like it was like you was getting irritated from what I was reading. I'm with my family, and we didn't sit down, and blah, blah, blah. But first of all, you ain't posted nothing on Facebook, and you've been gone for 3 days. So needless to say, to bring this to an end, when we got into our last little argument, that conversation, whatever case you want to call it, they went on to say, well, that ex is in North Carolina. So I said, motherfucker, that's where you was at. You went to see your ex in North Carolina. So
like
I should have
just
said
that, too.
Thank you. And I said it to say, y'all, whoever this ex is that they were dealing with, if they still dealing with, I don't know. But whoever that ex is, I'm saying this, and I know y'all can agree, they got their number. Because I guarantee you, by them not wanting to still be with them, of course, y'all probably still fucked or whatever, but by them not wanting to be with them, that's what his heart and mind and soul wants to be. But they probably dealt with that bullshit that I was dealing with, and they got out of it. And now that's why they probably saw, oh, this is the one I really want to be with, blah, 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 this and that, woo, woo. That motherfucker had their number because they weren't dealing with it. And they saw that I kind of somewhat was at that point. So that's the point.
That's crazy.
Yeah, very crazy. Very crazy.
But see, the problem is, too, that people don't speak up enough. So people get accustomed to, okay, like, you know how you meet somebody and you really be sitting there looking like, you cannot be this screwed up. Like, how the hell did you get to be this age and you this screwed up?
Yeah,
it's
that's what I said about him.
Yeah, it's because nobody in their life ever stopped them to pull a coat to say, hey, get off that shit. Nobody ever stopped them to say that. I know people right now with shitty-ass attitudes and funky dispositions, and they just think they are God's gift to the universe. And it's like, nobody's going to bow down and kiss your ass because your mama pooted you out. Don't nobody give a damn because you woke up this morning, boo.
Okay.
It's like your kids don't even care until they wake up and realize they need you for something. Other than that, when they sleep, they sleep. They don't give a damn. They dreaming about lollipops. Stop playing. And it's the same thing in relationships. A lot of people take their partner for granted until they need them. You know, like I always tell a person, when it starts to get funky in a relationship, I'm overly communicative. I'll tell a person, hey, baby, check it out. Don't wait until I'm tired of trying to start trying. Don't wait till I throw in the towel to want to start the race, because I'm good at that point. It's too little too late. And that's why a lot of people are walking around bitter. And that's why they're walking around with all these parameters and provisions that they want to slap on their relationships. Oh, no overnight visits in the first 4 months. And, you know, I don't know what other provisions they could put on now. I'm trying to think of something silly.
It's a lot of them.
I have no clue.
it's a lot of them, you know, people put on there.
You know, we're not going to talk more than twice a day. We're not going to text more. You know, it'd be like, damn, can niggas just let it flow?
Okay.
That's right. Let it be organic. You put those type of stipulations on me, and now I think that you got something at home, the reason why we can't do this and we can't do that. Just let it be organic, let it flow, and we'll see what we get out of it. And I tell a person that in a heartbeat, because with me, we'll let it flow. My communication will be so dry, because sometimes life really does just happen. Sometimes you get home from work, you sit down, you chill, you nod off, you get up, you cook, you clean up, you do some work, whatever it is you do around the crib. By the time you look up, it's time to go ahead and lay back down. And it's like, ah, shit, I meant to call my boo. Oh, well, I hit them all. Same thing. But people will perceive that as rejection. A person will perceive that as inattentiveness. Well, you didn't text me, you didn't call me. So, yeah, I was on the phone with my ex for 3 hours. Well, bitch, keep on talking to her. You good?
Okay.
You know? But that's, you know, that. But that's the stuff people will try to, they'll try to gaslight you with. You know, they'll try to jumpstart you with that just to get you to start going off. So then they can counter with, well, if you cared so much, why weren't you here? And it's like, I don't know, maybe I was out pissing hoes. I don't know. I just went here.
Okay.
No. But that was because that would be something I would be out doing, you know.
You're a mess, Black.
You know, that's my Tuesday night vocation. That's my Tuesday night vocation.
That vocation.
Exactly. Pissing hoes. Hey, don't forget when I worked at the mall, Jeffrey. Hey, look, when I worked at the mall, what was my job? Selling bodysuits to fat chicks.
Right.
Miss Honey, I used to say that every day, and every day I ended up selling a bodysuit to a fat chick. And trust me, I don't fat shame. I was 398 at one point. I don't fat shame at all. But when you walk in a store and you're clearly in a 3X and you ask me to get you down this little one piece and ask me do I have it in a large, and I say, no, ma'am, but I do have an extra large or a 2X, but I try one of them. No, I'm going to try the medium. No, boo, that's not how this
right.
works.
Right.
You can't go down two tons of fun. No. That woman went in my mm-hmm. dressing room with that bodysuit. That was the day I made that video. Mm-hmm. She went in that room with that bodysuit and her boyfriend. See, he was emotionally cheating on her at that moment with himself because he told her baby mm-hmm. was fine. She broke the snaps on it and brought
wow.
it back. His little ones that snap between the legs. She brought it back up front and balled up and just threw it on the counter like, y'all need to check y'all sizes. And stormed out. I picked it up with a hanger. And I'm like, ooh, she broke the snaps at the coochie. I'm like, her big stuff probably touched it. Damage it. Boom. But that was the thing. See, he wasn't there for her. Like, he needed to be. And it's a
right.
humorous situation. But the reality of it is he blatantly lied to her. And see, for somebody
right.
like me, they'll say, damn, Black, you petty as hell. No, 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 no. A lie is a lie is a lie.
Right.
And if you lie to me about something
right.
as simple as that, why would you lie to me and flatter me? But then when I go outside, I get embarrassed. Then my feelings going to be hurt.
Exactly.
I much rather you tell me out of love, nah, baby, that's not a good look for you. Same thing go for your friends. It's all about communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. When I realized the lie and the conversation was already gearing towards it being over because what you already told me or how you felt. But when I realized
mm-hmm.
the lie, I sat there and said to myself, okay, we not together in a relationship. We're just talking. But if you lie to me now, you lie to me when I'm in a relationship with you. And you don't understand you
Hell
just
yeah.
told on yourself. You just told me where
mm-hmm.
you was at, and you told me something totally different when you was there. So it's like
yeah.
I look at little things like that when I'm talking to somebody now, and I just
yeah.
sit back and I listen to a person. And I let them talk, and we go from there. That's just how I analyze a lot of things now, because it's like with that situation and the situation before and other little situations I dealt with in the past, it's like I'm kind of like you, Black. I'm like, okay, at this point, if it is what it is, and Honey said it too, I'm done. I'm not going to sit no more and listen at you and this and that. No, once it's out there and put out there, if it ain't going to well, okay, fine. And needless to say, like I said, they still was calling, and I was not
mm-hmm.
answering. Because, Black, I wasn't answering. But he kept calling,
Good.
kept calling,
mm-hmm.
kept calling, and I wasn't answering. To the point where he sent me a message on Facebook, and my DM was like, well, damn, I know I said you weren't going to call me no more after I told you I didn't want a relationship, but you really, really went through. Yeah, because what the hell are we talking about, dude? What are we really, you know,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't keep it real. You know, we set this, you know, expectation. Well, it wasn't expectation, but we set the boundary. You saying you're not interested in me. So at this point, let me get you out of my system, and then maybe
yep.
down the line, I can have a conversation with you, and we can just be cool. But right now, feelings that I have for you are there, and they're not there with you. So let me get you out of my system. But you still want to call like everything's okay, and no, it's not. You know, because you don't realize you also lied to me too. And I figured that out. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
I in a situation with that, with these people, and then you can really go sit on somebody's couch and talk to somebody like Black. Yes, Black, you need some other class coming to talk to you because these motherfuckers got issues, and they need to quit trying to bring their toxic shit into something new. You know, don't come trying to talk to me and get to know me and you still not over your ex. Don't try to come talk to me
mm-hmm.
and get to know me and you unsure about yourself. So it's like, I listen to that. And I listen to how people was brought up in their childhood. Was you loved enough
mm-hmm.
as a child? So now, as
Ooh.
An adult, because you wasn't loved enough as a child, you want to start acting out as a kid, as an adult. You know? Is that the
Absolutely.
Case? Because it was something that they did too. And I was like, this motherfucker is 44, about to be 45 years old, and you hanging out at the Young Teeny Boppers Club, the 21-year-old, kicking and hanging out. They sent me a video one night, y'all. They was at the club at 3 in the morning. I'm like, if you don't get your old ass in the house to sit down, dude, you old. You hang out with people at 21, 22. Get your ass in a goddamn house.
Wait, how old is he?
He's about to be, he's about to be 45 now, Black. But
I mean,
he was 44 at the time.
You keep saying, oh, bro, I'm 45. That's not old.
But no, I'm sorry.
That's what I mean by 20.
What I mean by that, the point I'm making with is that this motherfucker was in the club with 21, 22-year-olds. We passed that age. Come on now, you should be going to a little bar, like get together playing cards, stuff like that. You, with these 21-year-olds listening to Quavo and them. Exactly.
Has not matured. I'm gonna live my life through these younger people.
He's emotionally handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you have to watch. And like you said, Jeff, that you got to see how somebody was brought up. I joke with my mother-in-law all the time. If my husband do something and I laugh about it, I joke with her like, boy, you got to watch these, how these men be brought up and, you know, what their mama did for them. Did their mama hug them or kiss them?
Okay.
Tell them that they love them, you know, and it's a joke between me and her. But that's the truth. You do have to find that out. You have to be careful, I say, too, who you have kids by. Because you never know what was their upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you definitely have to watch that.
That whole part right there, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people are just not meant to mate.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
And they emotionless, you know. Well, I wasn't brought up that, you know, my mom never didn't tell me that they love me or they, you know,
right.
My parents didn't hug and kiss me. You know, we didn't go on family trips or we didn't have company. You know, is that you have to watch all that kind of thing because that's what they're going to bring in any relationship, just not an intimate, but a friendship. They're not even capable of being friends with somebody for long.
Yep.
So you definitely have to watch all of that.
Mhm. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. Yep. Because I would see some of that with them too. So, and it's just like certain stuff that they would say, honey, and they'd be like, "Well, I fuck it. I don't have to call you no more." Well, then don't. Then don't. Because if you got a type of attitude, then don't fucking. Why are you calling me? Why? Leave me alone. You know, I'm still calling every damn day. Like I'm just returning your phone call. That's they would say. They would say that, honey, in Black. Well, I'm just returning your phone call.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes into the conversation. Well, then why did you call me then? I don't want you just to be returning my phone call. Like you doing me a favor. Like that situation just was off the wall. I don't know if it was God showing me that I need to be going through that just to not go through it no more. What? But that whole situation, y'all, was off the wall. They would generally say that sometime when they would call. I was just calling you just to return your call. 5 minutes into the conversation. So then why did you call me then?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want
to
have a conversation.
How long were you in that situation?
I was talking to them for about a good 3 months, three and a half months. And then at that point, when I had that general conversation of where things were going, I left it alone. But they still kept reaching out. And after that initial DM message, after that, they got the point to stop calling. And sometimes kind of talk to them. They'll send me a message, Black and Honey, sometime, and I'll be like, okay, cool, I'm all right. How's life with you? Blah, blah. But there, needless to say, he's still single, still ain't with nobody, and still, and he had a conversation one time was like, well, I don't know why, if I'm this attractive and I'm this and that and blah, blah, I don't have nobody. It's your attitude, dude. Nobody wants to put up with your fucked up ass attitude. That's why you ain't got nobody. You know, you got your little hookup buddy. So he had to mention that. And my thing with that, too, is if I on a level like that with you, I don't want to hear about you talking about who you hook up with this and then woo-woo. And I don't know if they were trying to play on me mentally to see if I was going to get them the response that they wanted, which I didn't. But they went on to say that in that conversation too, honey. And Black was like, well, it's the motherfucker texting me right now. They waiting on me to get him some dick. So I decide, depending on how I feel, I text them back and I woo-woo. Why would you be telling me that? I don't want to hear about you giving somebody some dick to somebody. I just couldn't get the situation,
wow.
Needless to say. But
that's too childish. You sound like you've been in a relationship for 3 years versus 3 months.
It used to blow me, Black. I'm like, why would you tell me something? I don't want to hear that about who's texting you. This motherfucker time, I may call him back. And one time, they did do it in the beginning of us talking, and I was like, well, don't let me stop you. I got to go to the store, so go ahead and text your little booty call back. Oh, no, I decide if I do it later on. So me not giving them a response if they want it, but I'm kind of glad I'm out of that situation. But, yeah, we'll talk every now and then, and like I said, he still, needless to say, says, I'm not in a relationship with nobody. I don't know why I'm single. Dude, nobody wants to put up with your attitude. You have a very fucked up ass attitude. That's why.
Yep.
I told him one time that too, and he was like, well, you know, some people say this about me, I'm an asshole, and some people love me, and I'm amazing, why wouldn't you love who I am, and blah blah blah. And I'm like, oh my fucking god, I really wish when you started DMing me, if I'd known you was gonna be like this, I'd have told you hi and bye, because your ass is off the motherfucking chain. And then, like you said, y'all said with these masks, people pretend well with these fucking masks on their face. It's just like, you wouldn't even think that about him. He has a good job. He's nice looking. When he wants to be okay, he gives you good conversation. But when I got to know him and seeing all that crazy shit come out, it was like, damn, what the hell did I get myself into? What the fuck?
Right, like you guys the booty, shit.
Right. So I just don't want to go through that ever again. I'm running.
Okay, I don't blame you. Hoo-wee, that was a whole handful and shit, a bag.
Okay.
But you can't give up because of that asshole either. It's somebody out here for us all. You can't give up because of that. And then don't let his crazy hinder you finding somebody that you deserve because you thinking of his crazy. Oh, is this person going to act the same way? You know, you still got to give somebody else a chance and give yourself a chance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah.
So what did you get to?
I think we covered everything, but I was going to ask Miss Honey, since she's been the one the longest in a relationship on here, what has sustained you and your husband? Like, I know it probably hasn't always been peaches and roses and all that, but what has sustained you and your husband? What's kept that glue with y'all together so long?
Oh, Lord. I really think for us, because we started out, like I say, really young. We were teenagers, and we're both in our 40s now. We got children. We have grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So I think that we love each other, and we done stepped on each other. We done stomped on each other's toes over the years. But I really think that it is love. And I think our children, and we built things with each other, you know, we got our first everything with each other, homes and stuff like that. I already had a son, but I have his first children. So, you know, those types of things we built together, businesses, you know. So I think that our family, you know, I love his family. They love me. He loves my family, and they love him. You know, so I think that all of that combined is what really kept us going. Because I think that if we did not have the support of, children ain't going to keep nobody, but I think that, you know, on top of other things, plus our family backing us up, and then our friends. So I think if we didn't have the support of the village, then I think we probably wouldn't have lasted. I'm not going to even lie to you.
Because there's some days now, Jeff, I be thinking like, you know what, bro, I don't care if it's been 29 years, your day's numbered.
You know what's crazy? To jump off of what you just said about the support of the tribe, it's mm-hmm. like these youngsters, they don't realize that. You had these people together now, and they hate each other's friends, and they families mm-hmm. don't like them. They families mm-hmm. don't want them together. Their families are a big point of contention. They friends. She don't want his friends over at the house. He think all her friends are little scuzz buckets. You know, her mom and them think, you know, her mom and them think he a dog. His mama thinks mm. she beneath him because, you know, her son fine. Mm-hmm. And it's like a constant back and forth, and there is no support. And they're basically essentially emotionally, at least, still children trying mm-hmm. to play an adult game. They trying to play dress up and play house and have babies. And it's like y'all are ill-equipped because
Absolutely.
Nobody ever taught you, going back to the beginning of our conversation, nobody ever taught you your role.
Mm-hmm. And that's important too. You know, we know how to play our role. We know if things happen, because there's been some really serious things that shook up our relationship really bad. But like
yeah.
I said, we always come back to one another. We always come back to one another, and we didn't let what may have gotten in the way of our intimate relationship mess with the family unit. So I might
okay.
be mad at you, but you still got to eat.
Right.
I might be mad
right.
at you, but I'm going to still give you, you know, honey, what you're asking for, what you need. You know, we still
yeah.
have to raise these kids. These bills still need to be paid. You know, clothes still got to be washed, you know. So
yeah.
I mean,
young people,
mad,
they're number one.
I'm going to help you keep your strength up. You can go get that mortgage money now. I'm mad. I'm still mad at you, boy. Don't talk to me, but I'm going to feed you so you can go out here and face the world. And, you know, so you got to think of that kind of stuff, you know. So,
yeah, and these kids now, their number one go-to is in a relationship. What I noticed, because I have a couple of younger clients too, and it's so interesting that they have no staying power. They have no fortitude.
Mm-hmm.
Their number one thing to say, especially the girls between 22 and 30, their number one point of contention is get out.
Yes.
Get
mm-hmm.
out. Just get out.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, there's no talking about it. No, the hell with you.
Nope.
Get out. It's like, we can't figure this
mm-hmm.
out. Nope, I'm saying, don't make me call my mom and them. Don't make me call my brothers. I want you. I call the police. I want you to leave now. Now, he hikes. He's freaking out because he feels like he's losing
mm-hmm.
his house, his home, his woman, his kids, if they got kids or whatever. You
That's
know,
right.
he's going to lose all this, and he's confused. So now what does that come out as? Aggression.
Because
she ain't trying to him. He's trying to be heard. So now he's going to block her away so she can't get out the door. Because you're going to hit me. You're going to start this argument then walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Then she becomes the victim. And now you have effectively broken down the relationship. And that's what these younger people do to each other every day. Every night they come right back together. They lay next to each other and can't stand each other. And that's a sad existence.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that is true. And you can't let everybody in your business, you know. Even if something happened, that just because our families love each other, that don't mean that your family can come over here and tell me any damn thing, not in my own house. And I will, and my family respects the same thing, you know. So
okay.
that plays a very big part right there. And there's no socializing here. And the way we live is like it's a secret society up in here. We don't do all that socialize. We socialize outside the home. This is our sanctity. So if we want to cuss each other out, we get behind closed doors because it's a united front when we out. But if we want to get behind our closed doors and do whatever, then that's how we do it. So it's none of
right.
that bringing the outside world into here. So that keeps up that longevity as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, so definitely, I guess with my situation, and I haven't dated in a good 7 years. I was in a 4.5-year relationship, and I haven't been in a relationship for 7 years. I've dated, I should say, but I haven't been in a relationship for, like, 7 years. So all this has made me, and like you said, honey, I can't do that. And I kind of do find myself doing that, and I'm kind of trying to shy away from doing that, of saying, is this what I'm going to go through because I went through with that. But I give everybody a fair chance, and I give everybody enough rope to hang themselves. So it's like, I'm giving you a fair shot. I shoot my shot if I'm talking to somebody, and then we go pull scope from there or whatever. But I don't apply a lot of pressure, Black and Honey. I just go with the flow, you know. But I feel like, too, I haven't made myself available. And what I say with that is with COVID coming in, I don't really go out a lot. Because what I do is I go to work, I come home, I write like y'all. Of course, y'all know how long that takes us up. Sometimes we be writing, doing our novels, and sleep. After that, that's my whole day. Or I go get on the treadmill and work out. And I was talking to one of my best friends, and I was like, well, damn, I'm, shit, about to be 40, and I haven't been in a real relationship since I was 36, 37. And I'm like, damn, it's like, okay. I don't want to be one of these old people growing old and alone. I said I am, but, you know, it's like, okay, do I have to see within myself on what I need to do. And I know I need to make myself available. And I guess that's one of the things I have to work on within myself. But definitely, I am going to get back out there and start dating again. Because I haven't really talked to anybody since Psycho. So it's like...
that you can offer whatever you're looking for too, because whatever you're looking for to be brought to the table, you got to be able to bring some of that to the table as well.
Right, that's true.
Well, you can't that's be true. Crazy and think you ain't gonna attract crazy.
Okay, because that's one thing my friend Jackie say too, honey. Crazy needs to be with crazy. Man. Yeah. So I'm glad you ladies came on tonight. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I don't have it. I really don't have anything. This was a good conversation. When you first asked me to do it, I'm thinking like, what I'm gonna bring to the table? I haven't dated, so I had to think.
Right, you booed up like Black then, right?
Right. But that gives a good perspective too, because people need to know how to stay booed up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why I brought
you
on.
You know,
right?
True. I mean, you know I'm here for you. You know, if you ask me, I'm gonna do it. So, but I enjoyed this. I really did.
I think that you know, when it comes to relationships and matters of the heart and, you know, and the body, I think that people just need to be very clear with themselves and with their chosen individuals to interact with on what it is that they want. If they want something casual, if they just want a boot cake, if they just want a cutty buddy, you know, I had somebody proposition me to ask me if they could pay me to cuddle because I look like a good cuddler. I was like, no, I don't cuddle. Sorry. To me, that's just a little too up close and personal. I can't. That's just creepy to me. Like, ew, get off me, you know. But I think if people were more open with themselves about what they want as well as what they need, they'd be okay. Because, like, for instance, we all want somebody that look good. But you might need somebody who is nurturing.
Right.
You know, which one is going to save your life in a pinch? So I think we just need to be clear about our intentions that we're setting with ourselves and with the people we're dating.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
All right, ladies. Well, can you each tell the listening audience where they can find you and your books at if they don't know?
Go ahead, Ms.
Well,
Honey.
You can find Ms. Honey Thomas. I am on, all of my books are on Amazon. I'm on Facebook, Author Honey Thomas, and on Instagram, Author Honey Thomas. And my website is www.redlotusreads.com.
Me, Onyx Black, I go by a lot of names. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok under Black Fire, BlackPhire, spelled phonetically, or Onyx the Authoress, Onyx with two X's. All my books are on Amazon. And, yeah, that's me in a nutshell. I really enjoyed the opportunity, bro. Thanks for having me on again.
No problem, no problem. And I appreciate
yes,
your honey
thank
coming
you, thank
on.
You.
Yes, and taking on this topic with me. I know I had some people listening that were going through some similar things. So I'm glad I brought you ladies on this topic, especially Black, because I know you, I watch your videos and everything. So that's why I definitely picked you alongside Honey to come and talk. Because I know you have some good insight in all. So definitely.
Thank you, thank you. Did I enjoyed you, Onyx.
Thank you, Miss Honey. I enjoyed you as well.
Thank you.
Yes. All right, my sisters. Well, I'm glad you guys came on again. I will definitely be in touch via Facebook and social media. You know how we do. And I want to say thanks again for coming on. And you ladies, if nothing else have to say, have a good night, and I'll talk to y'all soon.
All right. Everybody have a great night.
Great
weekend.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So there you have it. We had on author Honey Thomas and Black Onyx. Tonight's show was a little in-depth. I really needed this show tonight. So Honey and Black, thank you ladies for coming on to talk. I'm just going to finish up here for a few minutes when I say this. And if you're dealing with a situation like this too, I hope you guys that are dealing with this are listening good with my final remarks on this. Self-worth and loving yourself. Just as Honey and Black kind of piggybacked and said, you got to know what you'll put up with and what you won't put up with. And regardless of the situation, you may feel like it may work. You may feel like it may be something there. If it's not working for you, or if you know you done met somebody and they generally telling you that they don't want to be with you and they still reaching out, get that strength to you have to get that strength to let it go, because keep the communication going with that person and they've told you that they have no desire to be with you like that. It's going to only break you and make you less stronger than what you need to be to let them go. I'm grateful for my friend Crystal Smiles. Mama Aja, I know you listen, but Crystal has been there for me in certain situations I dealt with when we were in our 20s. And I'm thankful that Crystal was that listening ear. And she was able to help me in situations that I went through in my 20s. Thus, the situation I talked to about Honey and Onyx tonight, that was a recent situation, but it dawned on me as I thought about it as that ended that I've been through that before in my 20s, and it's something I don't want to go through again now that I'm getting in my 40s. So if you're going through that situation, I say, I'll have to say, listen to the person, get to know that person. Don't set up boundaries, but set up a wall. And when I say set up a wall, you have to keep your feelings at a mutual distance, because if they come back and tell you that they don't want to be bothered with you after you done poured your heart out to them, then you have to have that strength to move on. Because once a person tell you how they feel, that's generally how they feel. A lot of us feel like, yeah, we could change a person or we do this, do that. No, that person is only going to change unless they want to. And in that similar situation I was just in, I thought that, and unfortunately, no. That person has to want to change for themselves. So regardless, if after it's all said and done, they start seeing somebody else, and that person becomes the person that they end up getting involved with, you have got to keep your head held high and your dignity strong, because God has not forgotten about you, and there is somebody out there for everybody. Sometimes it takes us a little longer to find that person. Sometimes it may take us a while to find that person. Sometimes that person may be what's coming after you done dealt with what you done dealt with. But notice, when it's your time, you will know it. And when that person comes along, you won't be second-guessing anything, because everything they're supposed to do, they're going to do it. And when you least expect it is when it's going to happen. You guys have a good rest of your weekend. I will see you on the 29th for the last show of the season. And as I always say, what you do and the only thing you do for Christ is what will last. And I will see you guys again on the 29th on the Saturday Spotlight. Good night. Have a good rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Saturday Spotlight with your host, Jeffrey Rochelle.